Hello, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. The aim of this podcast is to inspire, equip, and challenge you, our listener, to be an active and effective evangelist. If you have any questions about evangelization, please email us at podcast@cco.ca, and we'll answer them in a future episode. All right, let's dive in.
Welcome back to the Missionary Disciple Podcast. My name is Andre Renier. This is my wife, Angèle. And Michelle is joining us today. We're talking about activation. Angèle, maybe you can recap kind of what we talked about in the last episode about re-engaging our students in this phase.
Yeah, just briefly, we talked about the power of re-engaging those students in the mission and why that's so important, and doing that through this activation and outreach. And what that does is it brings them into the heart of what we're doing, and it does something culturally for the group, because it sets the tone of, like, we are a movement that isn't just a club. We are an evangelizing movement. We are one that reaches out. We go into the peripheries, and right away it sets the tone at the beginning of the school year, because it's so easy to get insular, to want to put on social events and just, like, let's love up on each other. And it's like, no, like, we're a movement that is reaching out. So right away at the beginning, we set the tone. We have a context in which to re-engage those students. So the context is, come with me as we reach the campus. So that provides all kinds of opportunities to teach them how to share their faith, how to have spiritual conversations, how to follow up someone well, how to start a discovery study with your friends. So the context allows for the right conversations to happen in discipling someone. And all of that just creates momentum, because as we pull people into what we're doing, oh, look, there's eight people at the CCO table and there's one person at the biology club table. And so that momentum actually does something for the culture of the movement as well. There's something happening here. And what's happening here? We're going out. That's what's happening here. So it's a really a great part about the activation phase.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about re-engaging students right now.
Yeah, today actually we're going to be the idea of sowing broadly.
Sowing broadly.
So Michelle, on average, how many students would be surveyed? You know, that they're passing by. How many would an average average campus survey?
I would say about like upwards of 1,000 people who were surveying in maybe just a couple of days.
So you would say,
oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. So you're saying you would have 1,000 students on a campus of 20,000 you would have, would you say that the connection is a conversation of some sort?
Absolutely. Like, we, even in that 5-question survey, it allows for conversation. It allows for being able to build a connection. You know, what program are you in? What year? Where are you from? What's your faith background? Like, you get to answer the questions, but also build a relationship with them.
How many would you say that actually end up, and this is just average, it kind of would it actually end up being followed up and then going, you know, entering into a study out of that 1,000 people that are surveyed?
I know for us, like, basically we would have surveyed somewhere around probably 800 people in a day and a half, got 500 contacts, and followed up, like, meaning met for 20 minutes at the Starbucks with over 200 people.
You'd meet with over 200 people.
Yeah.
So you've surveyed 1,000, 500 people kind of left their contact, and you actually had a conversation. Remember, we talked last week about, you know, the step-by-step. So you've had a meeting with 200 people. How many would you say that actually end up kind of in the study, you know?
Good question. I mean, many of the people that you actually get in
Starbucks.
Starbucks, get in the Starbucks, like, for a 20-minute meeting. I mean, I would say most will sign up for faith.
Okay, so you're moving, you know, Angèle, kind of CCO talks about this funnel thing, you know, like, this sounds like that.
Yeah, it totally is, and it's how we know how it works. So, like, there's a funnel of involvement, And then at the base of that funnel is when we would say, like, okay, these are multiplying missionary disciples. These are leaders for the renewal of the world. And that's generally 10% of the scope that you had at the beginning. So why does CCO so broadly is that no one gave us that. Like, that's not scriptural. Like, it's not in the Bible. Like, there will be a funnel. And, you know, like, we just, through School of Hard Knocks, we saw what happens is that when we reach out, there's some people that are involved in different levels. And then, like, the key people, there's going to be about 10% of them. So if I only try to reach and gather in 30 people and I only have maybe three leaders.
You can see the result of that.
Yeah. So then it's like, oh, okay, like, I would like to have more leaders. Well, then I have to actually have a bigger funnel. So if I want and if there's actually a crisis of leadership in a movement, I would say, like, then go do more outreach. Because you need to widen the funnel of the possibilities of who's going to come through and have that desire and calling on their life and responsiveness to God's call to be a leader.
But you're talking, you know, okay, and I agree with you, like 10% or whatever that percentage is, it will become multiplying missionary disciples. But even reaching the lost, actually is very biblical, because Jesus did say so broadly, you know, so it is biblical.
Biblical, yes, sowing broadly is
totally
Jesus
biblical. Did. He spoke to the masses, you know, like, and some of them followed and some of them didn't. But if he just spoke to the people that he knew would listen to him, there'd be many that were
Matthew. Well, at least 5,000, not counting the women and children.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, but you'd miss out some, you know, like, sowing broadly was a woman at the well. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't have been the most likely person to follow, or the Mary Magdalene, or, you know, Matthew, or, you know, there are many that were on the periphery that you wouldn't think would be. So would you say that actually sowing broadly is actually, you know, increasing the pool of people of the periphery we can actually reach with the gospel? Mm-hmm. Or do you think the strategy should be just focusing on those you know, yeah, you're guaranteed, you know, that small group of people? Yes, they've come to us, right. You know, and we know they're safe. Or do you think it's better to sow broadly?
Do you think you got set up there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell me why that's better. Like, in your opinion, why would that be better?
You know? Yeah. Sowing broadly, like reaching, you know, casting your nets wide, like going to hundreds of people on campus, it allows for reaching more people with the gospel message. It allows for, okay, I have 500 contacts. Now I have 500 opportunities to share the gospel with this person in Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
It reaches the lost. It reaches, especially a huge part of sowing broadly is, okay, well, where can you reach the most amount of people, right? You don't go to a tiny little place on campus where nobody's going to find you, or in, you know, tucked into your, you know, maybe there's a chaplaincy on campus, but it's super far away from where everybody is. Like, no, you go to the main part of campus and you go where everybody is going to be walking by. And no matter who it is, that's who you're serving. That's who you're reaching, right? You're reaching the lost.
Yeah, that's really important because often people run their outreach from the parish boundaries, you know. But sowing broadly actually goes to the market square, you know, the public area. And that tells me that we're actually taking reaching to the periphery seriously. We're not just, you know, giving, just talking about it, but we're taking it seriously by actually thinking broadly. We're actually taking mission seriously. Thinking not broadly is actually not taking mission seriously. It's taking... You know, I don't, something else. I'm sure there's a different word for it, but so.
Yeah, I might have sounded like I was saying different things than what you guys are saying, and I guess it's a both and, because there's the knowledge that leaders will come out of that 10%. Like, so, like, we do want to have leaders, not so, hey, we got a whole bunch of leaders, it's so we can send them out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's the value in itself of sowing broadly, because the scripture is very clear, Romans 10, like, how can they believe unless someone tells them?
Exactly.
So we need to get out on the campus, and we want to reach as many people as possible. So we're sowing broadly because of our heart to bring Jesus to the campus, to get out there, and where's the best place we can find them. But we know that in that midst of those, that sea of people, there are people that are going to be awesome to continue that on. that will have the conviction to keep going and to keep pursuing.
Well, yeah, I think it's conversion and leadership. Like,
so yeah, so I mean, yeah. This is our mission statement. We want evangelization and build leaders for the renewal of the world. So so both happen at the same time, and they both serve each other. It's a context, and it's our heart, and it's our mission, and it's building leaders, and it's a whole package.
But you know, as I kind of think of the sowing broadly, to me, just, you know, at the end of our mission statement says a renewal of the world. Mm-hmm. That actually, to me, we're putting our action where, you know, our convictions are. Mm-hmm. You know, our words are matching up with our action. I mean, we want to reach the world, so we sow broadly. Right. If, you know, if we didn't sow broadly, we weren't really reaching, we're not really serious about reaching the world. You know, like we have a different plan. But, you know, when Jesus says in Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples of all the nations, actually sowing broadly is really that. We're just going, whoa, we will do it. You know, we'll throw it out there. And you know, to me, it's just so moving and so inspiring. And I see the potential and how seriously we're taking that. I can say with great confidence and conviction and how proud I feel about the students and the staff as missionaries, what we're doing for the mission of the church universally, when we so broadly, because we're really doing it when we're saying, who can we reach? I don't know. You know, the Holy Spirit can work with whoever, so I'm just going to make it possible to reach them by sowing broadly. I'm going to sit up at a table, and I'm going to have as many conversations as I can with how far they might be away. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a conversation, a connection. It can only produce good fruit. Mm-hmm. Even those people that don't end up down the funnel, their experience of the church is relational. It's not like we're not in there saying, don't do this. We're actually inviting them to do something. So it's an invitation into something. It's not a reminder of their how far away they are. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not saying, you know, like, you are a sinner. We're inviting them to recognize that they are sinners.
With a lot of joy, right? Like, the way people are going out is not awkward credit card people mm-hmm. trying to get surveys, right? Like, it's there's a lot of joy and authenticity, and we're giving them chips as they fill out a survey, and there's laughing, and there's, like, eye contact. Like, it's just really, like, authentic. Mm-hmm. But, like, the reason why we sow broadly is that we're not trying to build a campus club. We're a university student movement dedicated to the new evangelization. Like, we, that's what we're doing. So we're on campus to do evangelization. We're not on campus to build a decent campus club.
We don't want to make our students happy and comfortable.
Yes,
and
you do.
Well, no, but what I mean, we're not there to, you know, provide a community for them. No. Although this
happens.
But we're here to bring about the renewal of the world, and we want to invite people into that by inviting them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way we can do that is to sow broadly, meaning, you know, go to the periphery. Broadly, actually, as I, you know, kind of think about and reflect on sowing broadly is really going to the periphery. That's what it really is. Mm-hmm. You know,
Pope Francis says the periphery, John Paul II said go to the marketplace.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe Benedict probably said go to the Areopagus. Like, I'm not sure, but like there's this going out and being present and not even going out there confrontationally. Like I said, this joy of the gospel and like the noise from our table, I'm sure is annoying to everybody because we just have a good time. We know we're having a lot of fun. There's a lot of laughter. Yeah. And that's attractive and contagious, even to the person who doesn't sign the survey. Mm-hmm. What's it doing to their spiritual journey to go like, I've walked past those Catholic people on campus and okay, they're different. That's not what I expected. Exactly. So who knows where that seed will lead when they're 35 and they're getting their kid baptized and they decide to come back to the church. And a little part of them goes like, maybe not all Catholics are grumpy or whatever, right? Like, so yeah, we don't know that the funnel or even beyond the funnel, what our witness on campus is doing, but we're going to go for it.
I want to tell you a story. I travel a lot, so I'm on a plane. And there is a conversation I had with somebody next to me on a plane. You know, we got into a conversation, and she said that she's in administration at Carleton University. And I told her what I that I'm involved in this movement called Catholic Christian Arch. And she goes, and she's not Catholic. And I'm sure she's not, you know, really supportive. She goes, Catholic Christian, I've heard of that. You guys are really active on campus. When do they say that about the Catholic Church, that we're very visible on campus? Because she didn't go, and you're a problem. She it was like, yeah, this is good. I'm glad you're active. Like, you haven't caused, you know, any.
You've added something to the culture.
Added something to the culture. And so, you know, in 30 years, we have not been, you know, somehow told we can't do what we're doing, because it is not, we're not trying to cause a rift. We're not controversial.
No.
We're invitational. What we're doing is we're inviting him into something. We're not confronting.
Yeah, like we're not out there like doing defending things. Like we're not being defensive or on the aggressive. We're just engaged. Like,
yeah.
We're just doing it.
So, you know, you that are listening to this and you're kind of wondering, okay, should I do this? You know, like, oh man, this is difficult, challenging, whatever might be the, you know, what's causing you to resist, or you're trying to be inspired to do this, you know, why should I do this? Well, I want you to know that going out, we are not, and sowing broadly, we're actually reaching out to the periphery. We're doing mission. But we're not trying to confront, we're inviting. The sowing broadly is in the way of the gospel is inviting people into something. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We haven't met up with people opposing us because of what we're doing. They're actually quite impressed that the church is visible. Mm-hmm. And so sowing broadly really is being visible in the periphery. So I invite you to just, you know, be part of this movement in bringing about the renewal of the world.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have any questions, comments, queries, quandaries, conundrums, or otherwise, please email us at podcast@cco.ca. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review us and subscribe, share us with your friends. Until next time, God bless.